紳士並びに淑女諸君、ホーンテッドマンションへようこそ。私はこの館の主、ゴーストホストである。さあもっと奥へ。後ろの方のためにもうちょっと詰めてもらえるかな。もう引き返すことはできませんぞ。すべてはここから始まる。まずは私の一族を見るがいい。この魅力的な姿を。
この不思議な気配を諸君は感じただろうか。部屋が伸びているのか、それとも諸君の目の錯覚なのか。よく見るがいい。この部屋には窓も扉も全くない。慌ててももう遅い。果たして諸君はこの部屋から出ることができるかな。私ならこうやって出るがな。
Hi, I'm Julie Nathanson, and when I am not voicing Princess Belle or Platypus Racing, I am listening to Tony, Krista, and Sid on the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Disney Parks Podcast. Disney Parks Podcast is your source for Disney Parks news and information from the Disney parks around the globe and so much more. Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Krista Joy, and I blog at DisneyWays.com. Joining me, as always, is Mr. Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com.
Welcome to another awesome episode.
All right, and Tony, will you kick us off with your quote of the week?
Sure. This one's short and sweet. So here we go. You ready? He doesn't walk very good, does he? Okay, if you know the character that says this, it's one of my favorite characters, and the movie it came from, give us a call at 407-476-8898 or drop us an email at thecrew@disneyparkspodcast.com. And I have to say, last week, Scott, and I'm not going to say your last name, Scott, because I'm just going to ruin it for you, got the quote of the week correctly, and his little goodie is in the mail as of today. So thanks for sending that. And Scott did something very cool. He sent us his reply, which I'm going to try and post to this, in an audio file. So you can hear Scott say it.
Very yeah, cool. So he called the number, called in, and left the answer.
No,
right?
he recorded his answer and then sent us the recording of that, his voice. Not
awesome.
The phone. Yeah.
No. Oh, wow. Very cool.
It was very cool.
All right.
Yep.
Bonus okay. points for being unique, Scott. Thank you so much. Yep. All right. Well, today, Tony and I are just super excited. We have a very special guest with us on the line. Trish is our wonderful, beautiful Disney Parks podcast correspondent from Tokyo. And she's on the line with us today just so we can all, you know, welcome her and get acquainted. So thank you, Trish, so much for coming on the show.
Hi, guys. Thank you.
And it's like, what, midnight there tomorrow or something?
It's tomorrow. it's tomorrow in the morning time.
She's exactly 14 hours ahead of us. So it's 7 o'clock here right now. So that means it's 9 o'clock in the morning there.
So tell us what happened last night.
Okay. Well, if you were following my Twitter, it was snowing.
There you go.
Which is very rare. So we ran out before bedtime, and we went and we took pictures of the snow, and we played in the snow. We found snow Mickeys and snow Donalds and Daisies, and it was really cold, but really fun.
Yeah, so that, you know, that's interesting, because that's one of the only parks where it really snows. I mean, Paris gets it, but not as often, I think, as you guys do.
Now, I think Paris might get it a little more than us.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Yeah, because we get it maybe, if we're lucky, once or twice a year.
That would be very weird to go into the Magic Kingdom with snow.
It's really cool.
I love the videos. I posted a video from Tokyo a couple days ago. It's so beautiful. The snow coming down on the park is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Now, and you know, I'm like you guys. I'm from Florida, so you know, snow for me is super exciting. I'm like, yeah. Oh, it's snow! Everybody's like, oh, snow! The trains are gonna stop. You know.
Now,
it's beautiful.
You were born in Florida, raised in Florida.
I was raised in Florida. I was born in Washington State, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because my dad was in the military. And, oh, okay. And then we moved back to Florida when I was like about five or so.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, so you have to give us the lowdown. You know, we're, you know, Disney Park fans, obviously. But what are some of the really cool things that Tokyo Disneyland has that we don't have here in the States?
The number one thing I would say is Tokyo Disney Sea. It's amazing. It's gorgeous. The detail is, I think, really, they're never going to build another theme park like that. They went a little crazy. You know, what happened was, the story that I've heard is that the Imagineers, they made a budget, you know, and usually they expect the budget to get cut, you know, and the company that owns Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo Disney Sea, Oriental Land Corporation, said, no, you know what, guys, we're willing to pay a little more, you know. So the Imagineers had like a field day. They're like, what, really? You know, and they went crazy. They had painters from Italy come to paint the building, you know. Every part of that park under the bridge where nobody will ever look is just incredibly detailed. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, so when people hear Tokyo Sea, I think they think water park, and it's not a water park.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
It's, it's hard to say. The park that has the closest feeling to it, I would say, is kind of like Epcot.
Okay.
You know, but it's themed to seven ports of call.
Right.
So around the world. So you have, like, Mediterranean harbors, Italy. You have... Port Discovery is like a seaside town in the future, you know, but it's like a retro future, you know, right. Like a Jules Verne time. You have like Mysterious Island from Jules Verne. You have like a South American port, you know, you have all these different ports of calls.
Yeah. I had read somewhere where I thought it was like a celebration of, you know, Japan is surrounded by water. So it was more of a celebration of the seas and the ports and things like that of, you know, maybe some older days of Japan when, you know, people used to, you know, travelers, I guess, in boats used to come to, you know, Japan and stuff.
Definitely. There's no, actually thinking about it now, there's no Asian port of call. There's no, maybe it was, they thought it would be too familiar for people.
Right.
But yeah, like the theme is like romance and exploration.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And, Disneyland Tokyo, Tomorrowland still to the right, Fantasyland still behind the castle, Adventureland over to the left. So basically you're walking through Disney Park and you kind of know your way around already.
Yeah, it's a weird blend of Orlando and I hear California.
Okay.
Because it looks like Orlando, like our Haunted Mansion looks like the Orlando Haunted Mansion,
right.
Except that we have a little mini Port Orleans. Not Port Orleans, New Orleans Square.
Right.
Yeah. So, and we have a Club 33.
Wow.
So it's a blend.
Wow.
And I would say the difference is the walkways are much wider, which sometimes throws people off because it has to be because of the crowds that we get.
Right.
And the parade is the floats tend to be larger, so the walkways have to be larger. They have to be wider.
You're just breaking our hearts.
So no. Hello, you guys live in Disney World, which is huge. You've got size. You've got golf courses. What are you talking about?
Tony's got a little park envy.
Yeah.
No way.
Trish,
all
so
the parks,
much...
you know.
Go ahead.
All the parks have their good points, you know?
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, there's reasons to visit all of them. So I was wondering, which is your favorite out of Tokyo Disney Sea and Tokyo Disneyland?
Tokyo Disney Sea, for sure.
Yeah.
It's it's like you can go there and not do a single attraction and feel like it was worth the day's entry fee. It's gorgeous.
Do they have annual passes typical like we have here in the States for residents?
Our annual passes are really expensive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's cheaper to buy a day pass. Our day passes are like about $60-something, wow. Like maybe $65 around.
Wow.
And the annual passes, mine, I have two separate ones. It comes out to, it would be like over $1,000.
Whoa.
And we don't get discounts. And wow. We don't get any discounts.
So why is that? Why did they make the annual pass so expensive like that?
I think because it's kind of like California, that it's so close to the city that we get a lot of day trippers, and it's already so crowded. It would be insane if the annual pass was cheaper.
Yeah.
It would be crazy.
Yeah.
So I think they have to.
I know Tokyo is a very populated city, and this is really not in the proper of Tokyo, but would you say, you know, compare it to, like, is it Christmas time down here in Florida, that kind of busy, like, all the time there? That's my imagination of what it's like.
you know, that's, like, the impression that I think a lot of people give, but it's not completely the case.
Yeah.
I would say on the weekends, it's like that, like almost every weekend. It's not capacity. You know, we do get a lot of capacity days.
Yeah.
Which are in weird times compared to like the other parks in the States. Like, yes, Christmas and New Year's. New Year's, forget it. There's no way. You have to get a special ticket and you have to do it through lottery. But during like springtime or summertime, like on the weekends, it's very easy to hit capacity. But, you know, because people do day trips, they'll usually come on the weekends. During the weekdays, it's usually not so bad. So if you do come, go during the weekday, aim for the middle of the week, and it'll be much better. It'll be doable. You should still get there early, maybe like an hour early before opening, you know. But it's the wait times tend to be longer is the only thing, because people are very patient.
Now, do they have fast passes in Tokyo?
We still have fast pass.
Wow.
Which is great. I love the Magic Bands. I thought it was really fun when we went to Orlando.
Yeah.
But the Fast Pass thing was a little difficult, especially if you have a party that's like not staying at the same hotel, or they buy the tickets at the different times. That was the only difficult point. It was really fun though. We enjoyed using it. But we have Fast Passes, and it works the same as the States. You go, you can get another one in 2 hours, and you know you can stack them up or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
I would start collecting them.
If you want, I can go get you some.
Because they're gonna go away. I think Florida is the test bed for this. And once everything, and it'll be a long time. Once everything's ironed out here, they'll probably roll it out to the other parks. I think the park that'll have the biggest park time adjusting to that will be Disneyland California, because they are the reverse of what we are. We're primarily tourists and not so much annual pass holders. They are all annual pass holders and very little tourists. So it's really going to affect them big time. And I'm not really sure what the mix is in Tokyo, but it's probably pretty even blended, I think. I would think there's a pretty good split of tourism to residents.
I think we're pretty close to California.
Oh, really?
But we do get a fair amount of tourists. I never realized how much until after the earthquake. And it when we weren't getting the tourists from like China and Thailand and Korea, and other parts of Japan, it was just dead. There was like hardly anybody in the parks, and it could have been maybe people. Of course, they didn't feel like going to the parks. Like I didn't feel like going to the parks for a long time, but it was really, really dead, and it was just bizarre to see it like that. But I think we're close to California.
Yeah, interesting. Good stuff.
Now, Trish, your beautiful little son Kai, what did he like? What's his experience growing up? Has he been to Disney World a lot? I know you guys were just here, but I'm wondering what he thought of the comparison between the parks.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, he was on vacation, so he's like, let's go back to Disney World again, you know. Tokyo Disneyland, he's used to it. So he's like, oh, let's go to the park today. I don't need to go, which is kind of sad, you know.
Yeah.
But he loved Disney World, and he loved staying in the hotel. That's like his favorite thing in the world, you know?
Right.
Was this his first visit?
He had been there when he was born in Winter Park, Florida. So he has been going since he was like a week old or so, you know?
Yeah.
We wanted to eat it. I hadn't had sushi since I was pregnant. So we wanted to eat at one of the restaurants. So we went to, I think, the Swan.
Okay.
Or one of those had a restaurant inside.
Kimora's.
And yeah, so he was he's a little tiny baby, you know, so.
All right. So let's maybe help some people that would love to go to Tokyo. What would be the best time to go with the least crowds? And what would be, like, say, the top five things that they should do that, you know, the, like, must-do things in Tokyo?
Okay, in terms of crowds, I would say the best time is right now.
Okay.
The park closes earlier. Like, yesterday, right. I think it closed at, like, 8 o'clock or something like that, super early. But it's dead. There's hardly anybody here.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, not now. I would wait either a few weeks earlier or a few weeks later because now they have this discount ticket for students.
Oh, okay.
But February, it's cold, so nobody wants to be there. Go during the weekday when kids are in school. That's the lowest crowd time, but right. a lot of attractions are down for refurbishment. Mm-hmm. If you want to go in terms of weather, I would say autumn. Autumn is great, but it's super, super crowded because of Halloween.
Right.
But our Halloween is not a separate ticket event. You go, you pay the day price, you can see the parades, you can do everything, and they have Halloween at both parks.
Making me cry.
But it's very crowded.
I can see Halloween on the same ticket.
You can.
Oh, my God.
For Halloween, I would avoid the first week and the last week because that's when people can wear costumes. So it gets insane.
Wow.
So they can't wear them any other weeks except for the first and last?
No.
Wow.
Because the costumes are super elaborate. People go all out. A lot of them look really professional. I mean, in the States, too, I've seen some of the costumes look gorgeous.
Yeah.
But people go nuts here.
Yeah.
So it's chaos because they have to find a place to change. And they are using all the lockers. And so I think they don't want to deal with that the whole season.
Wow. And then, like, say, give us, like, maybe top five, top three things that they should do that, you know, are must things that they, you know, really can't get here in the States, but, you know, or really cool, like, things to see and do there.
Okay.
I would think all the shows and parades would be number one.
Yeah, our shows and parades are really strong. So if you come to Tokyo Disneyland, Tokyo DisneySea, come see the shows, come see the parades. Especially the electrical parade at Tokyo Disneyland. It is super long. It's really modern. It's gorgeous. Come see at DisneySea Big Band Beat. It's like a mini Broadway show. It has jazz music. It's live music. And the finale is insane. Mickey starts playing the drums. He stops halfway. He goes, he dances. And then he runs back and he starts playing the drums on cue. It is crazy.
Wow.
And the people that play are actually really, some of them are famous jazz musicians in the city. So just good to hear good music, too.
Yeah.
Then attractions. You should do unique attractions, right?
Right.
The Pooh's Honey Hunt is really different. The cars move on. They don't have a track, so they move freely, and they move in different directions. You should do Monsters, Inc., Ride and Go Seek. It's an interactive attraction where you use a flashlight to find monsters.
Wow.
And if you can't find the monsters, if you ride next time, it'll kind of be a new experience. At DisneySea, everything. Just do everything there, you know?
Yeah.
And then I guess number three, go shopping.
Yeah.
There's lots of goods that we have that are different, you know, so especially park self-referential goods, right? So you'll have, like, folders with Mickey with churros and stuff like that riding the attractions, or they'll have, like, little mini Mickey and Minnie's wearing clothes that you can buy in the park at that season, you know?
Wow.
Number four, seasonal events.
Mm-hmm.
We have really amazing seasonal events. Coming up is going to be spring. We have a great Easter parade. This year is going to be new, so I hope it's as good as last year's, not the year before, but it was amazing, like really incredible. And it's limited, so if you miss it this year, you might not get another chance to see it. Sometimes they'll repeat it a couple of years and they'll change the music or costumes, but in the past they would run it 1 year and it was over.
Wow. So wow. The parade doesn't run just for the Easter day. It runs for a couple of weeks?
It's a whole event, so it runs wow. The entire spring season.
Holy mackerel. We yeah. get the Easter parade on Easter Day, and that's it.
Yeah, and this is a parade with floats, and it is the last Easter parade. I don't know if it's going to be as good as last time. Mickey had, I think, 6 different costumes.
Wow.
So he would run from float to float and do a costume change during the show stop. It was insane.
Wow.
But we'll see this year. I don't know.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you'll have to tell us and then report back, because that sounds awesome.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And then number 5, go to the hotels and check out the hotels. Mm. I know a lot of the times, you know, you think, oh, hotel restaurant is super expensive. But the good thing about Tokyo in general is there's a lot of, I guess, women during the week with free time, and they have like these lady lunch deals, and uh-huh. it's available to men as well. So please take advantage if you're a guy. If you go to this restaurant in Disney Sea's Miracosta Hotel, which is actually part of the park, which is really cool.
Okay.
It's the restaurant's called Silk Road, and during the weekdays only, for 2,000 yen, there's this tasting menu, and it's not a tasting menu. It's got a ton of food. It's crazy, and super cheap. The restaurant usually. It's course menu, so it's like $60, $70, over $100. So really, really great. So please check out the lunch specials at the hotels or tea time at the hotels.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
And then so can you tell us, like, if somebody's not a super adventurous eater, you know, and they go over to Tokyo Disneyland, what kind of options do they have as far as, you know, for boring American appetites like ours?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, it's still a Disney park, you know. It's still a Disney park. So you still have your standards like popcorn and churros and ice cream or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you have American food. You have Italian food. For people who are not adventurous eaters, you have a ton of options.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah, I had no idea. I always wondered about that, how that would work.
Yeah. Do you have a recommendation on a resort they should stay at?
I would stay at Miracosta. I think it's the only hotel that's actually part of the park. Like, you look out your window and you're looking at, like, it's, you look from the outside and you can see the hotel rooms, you know, it is part of the park. It's incredible. They hired painters from Italy to come paint it. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. And my son likes the rooms by the gondola. So when the gondolas pass by, you say, ciao, and they'll say ciao to you. And he would constantly be yelling from the window. The gondoliers are like looking around like, where's that coming from? You know? So he loved that, you know, and it's just gorgeous. Really nice.
Yeah. It sounds very cool. Yeah, I think I am getting park envy now.
Come on over. But your parks are, you know, the thing, Disney World is incredible in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, Disney World, you've got so, it's a resort, you know, so you've got so many things other than the parks to do. You can go horseback riding, you can go fishing, you can go golfing, you know, anything, almost anything you can think of, you can do there. Race car driving, where else can you do that?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, every resort has its really strong point, you know, and I think you should enjoy that.
Yeah, and we're always, I feel this way. I mean, Florida is always under the state of flux. I mean, the amount of construction just driving around property that's going on is, like, mind-blowing. You know, we hear of Avatar Land, and, you know, still building a mine train, and we hear of Star Wars Land, and we hear of, you know, the doing stuff at DePaul. There's always construction going on. Downtown Disney Springs, which you probably, you know, got to see some of that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a never-ending, like, you know, it's a living, breathing organism almost. It's always
changing. Sure.
Yeah, so. Yeah, you know, it's just our, you know, human nature, I guess, to, you know, look at the grass greener on the other side.
Oh, for sure. I want to go to all the parks.
Yeah.
You know, Hong Kong has the three new lands.
Right.
California has Cars Land. Paris has the new Ratatouille attraction. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, your friend that you had with you when you came here recently, was it her first visit to Disney World in Orlando?
She had been there before, when my son was born. That's my sister-in-law. So she went, I think, a couple of days. It was her second trip.
Okay. All right. So was there anything she observed that you thought was interesting?
For Japanese people, I think some of the food coloring choices that we use is really interesting to them. Like when she saw the Christmas popcorn, she's like, oh my God, why would they make it green? You know? She's like, that's so gross. I'm like, 'cause it's Christmas colors. And she's like, but it looks like it's moldy. And I'm like, no. It's Christmas, you know. So I think some of the food coloring is like really bright to them. So she was really shocked by that, I think.
That's funny.
And she loved the Beauty and the Beast restaurant. She thought it was gorgeous.
Good. Did you go for dinner or for lunch?
We went for dinner, and it was a weird time that we went around 4 in the afternoon. Well, you know, so it was early dinner, but it was gorgeous. We did the wine. It was really cool.
Oh, that's good. It was pretty chilly when you guys were here too.
Yeah, we were ready, thankfully, because when we had lived there, the years that we had lived there, it was really, really cold. So I'm like, okay, we have to be ready just in case. So it was weird because it would go from like super hot and then the next day it would be freezing and we'd have to wear the down jackets. So it was nuts, you know. And indeed, we went to New York before that. In New York, the first 2 days, it was kind of chilly and then it was warm and we didn't even need the down jackets. And then they had the cold front that came, you know, so we lucked out.
Wow. Yeah, the timing was perfect on that.
It was really perfect. And thank you so much for all your help. I mean, we would not have seen Anna and Elsa without you.
Oh, you're welcome. I was wondering about that. Did what did they say to you? What was it like meeting them?
Oh, my God. I was, you know, starstruck. I was going to show Elsa my little phone strap. I had a little Elsa phone strap and go, look, Elsa, it's you. But my mind went blank. They were so cute with my son. They did little moose ears with him. And he loved it. He wants to see them again, and he wants to see Frozen again. And we hope that they come here soon, but we don't have them yet.
Yeah, that meet and greet is crazy.
Yeah.
It is the craziest thing I've ever seen. This movie is really, you know, Disney can't get the merchandise, the park stuff, you know, there's now talk of attractions. There's talk of stuff. This thing is the biggest thing since, like, The Little Mermaid. So
yeah, it is. It is. And I hope, you know, I'm glad it does well. It's a fantastic movie.
Yep.
And I hope they do more at the parks. I hope they do. I was telling my husband, we were looking at the YouTube commercials the other day. I'm like, it's a port city. Wouldn't it be so cool if they make like a kind of like a port based off of it, you know? Because hello, you have the Vikings, you have exploration on that side of the world. It would be fantastic, you know?
Right.
And we don't have like an ice theme. Exactly. You know, that would be perfect. So maybe in a few years, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But, you know, they do a Broadway show. You want to go see that? I mean, it's great. It really is. And the costumes were beautiful.
Yeah, I have heard that too. In some of the things they were talking about was a Broadway show. So
yeah, and that was the first time I think in the States that I had seen a character greeting line that long.
Yeah,
you know, like in Tokyo we get that all the time. You want to see Duffy, and it's like 4 hours. They actually have to give you a fast pass to come back. You know, it's ridiculous. You know, and that was the first time I had seen people waiting that long in the States. I thought, wow, this is really really popular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's never a line for Duffy here in the States.
No, it's great. Duffy is really tall in the States, too. Everybody's like, whoa, Duffy, you're way bigger than me.
He's tall in the States.
He's super tall. Mickey, too. Mickey is taller in the States.
Really?
Yeah. And Goofy is huge.
Wow.
Goofy, oh, my gosh.
It's all that colorful food we have over here.
Wow. Yeah, well, Duffy is a borrowed entity from Japan anyway.
I think it was a little bit So back and forth, right? Because he was a Disney bear first, right?
Well, the story I was told was it really originated in Japan. Minnie had made Duffy the bear for Mickey to take on his journey, his cruise. And then it really took off in Japan first. There was people, you know, taking pictures of Duffy all over the park. And then they saw how popular it was, and, you know, then they exported Duffy to the United States. And, now we have him. Yeah, I went to this whole marketing spiel thing for the media when they rolled out Duffy here, and I was like, So
it's crazy, you know. When I first came here, it was just Disney Bear. He didn't even have a name, you know, and they sold him in the New York area.
Yeah.
And then the next time I came, I'm like, wow, there's a lot more of these bears. And the people are putting costumes on them. And they were like homemade costumes. They were like really elaborate. And then the anniversary, the 25th anniversary, they started releasing these special anniversary costumes. And those would sell out like in a day. And I would say that was like the height of the insanity. No. Okay, worse. Okay, guys, the lines here are insane. When they released the girl bear, Shelly Mae, we thought, okay, worst comes to worst, it'll be like a four-hour line. Okay, let's do it. You know, it's the first day. That line was hell. It was 8 hours, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
And once we were there for 4 hours, we were like, well, we can't leave now because we've been in line for 4 hours, you know?
Oh, my word.
It was horrible. We were there from morning until night. And then we met some friends for dinner, and I'm like, yeah, here's the bear. Here's the bear. We waited in line 8 hours.
Here's my pictures.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
It was a nightmare. Wow. And after that, they implemented like a kind of like a fast pass system. So the line was really long. They'd give you a card, and they'd say, come back at 5. You know, and it was much easier.
Yeah.
It was hell. It was
and they didn't run out of the bear in the 8 hours of giving bear or selling bears.
Oh my God. If they would have run out, I would have, after 8 hours, I would have freaked out. No, they had enough.
Wow.
Which was,
That's insane.
And since then they've been good about stocking, you know, a lot of the stuff will last at least a few weeks, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Here, not so much. I mean, stuff goes pretty quick. Well, using Frozen again, I've heard that, you know, Frozen's selling out in a lot of the Disney stores, and the park stores can't keep it on the shelves. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. We did sell out of Glow with the Show ears here in the United States.
No way! Yeah. That is so cool.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it looks so pretty.
Yeah. And you guys have those wands, though, which look very cool.
Yeah, the wands are good. You know, the thing is that they have that rule where you can't obstruct other people's, you know, line of vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still like a strict rule, but they'll tell you, you know, please take off your hats or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I think it's kind of a good thing, you know, because people get really serious because they've been, you know, they'll wait for like hours. So I guess they don't want to have an altercation. You know?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a brilliant idea because people over here have issues with, well, I bought these ears and when I put them on my head, I can't even see them. So I bought them really for other people. Well, with a wand, it's something it's really something you could actually enjoy. So I think it's a great idea. I hope they bring something like that over here too.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't have manners like that here in the States. With
my gosh, no.
We usually have the 6-foot person that stands in front of you and then puts his child on his shoulders so that you really can't see anything.
Okay, I'll tell you something. There's manners, but the rules are there for a reason because if the rules are not there, it would be crazy. Okay, so for some of the shows, you know, there's the rules, right? Yeah, there's standing and sitting. What people will do is they'll buy these super, super tall, like, platform shoes so they can videotape, so it can make them taller, okay? So people will find workarounds. And, you know, there has to be rules, like, for sure here, because people, if not, will find the loophole. We used to have these Future Rider passes, which you still have in Disney World, and I guess people would just abuse it. They bring their kids every day. And they get the Future Riders cards, and they would keep it. They would use it because you can get up to 5 people in when the kid is the right height, you know?
Yeah.
So they had to eliminate that from the system.
Wow.
Yeah, so we don't have that anymore.
Wow. Okay, do we have anything else, Chris, or do we want to let poor Trish could get some sleep.
Well, she's starting her day, actually.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to work soon.
Oh, wow.
Was there anything else you wanted to share to close us out here, Trish?
Oh, my God. I want to do the rapid fire questions.
Oh, we can do that.
Yeah.
Can we?
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Let's do it.
Let me pull them up real quick.
Yay.
You know, we changed them a little bit.
Oh, no. Okay, it's good. It's exciting.
Right. Okay. You ready?
Okay.
If you could hang out with any Disney character, who would it be?
Oh, my God, totally Mickey.
He's so cool. Yeah, I agree. If you could... Hey, speaking of Mickey, does your Mickey talk and blink yet?
No. Oh, my gosh, that was so cool. My son freaked out. And we were so worried because we went to go see him one time, and he wasn't talking. And I'm like, oh, he's not talking.
I know.
And then luckily the second time, we were super lucky, and he was talking. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the luck of the draw, I think. But okay. If you can only ride one Disney ride for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Maybe Haunted Mansion.
Okay, that's a good one.
It's fun, right?
Yeah, that song won't get boring. It's a small world, but probably get monotonous. Your favorite Disney song?
I like the theme park music. I like the 25th anniversary song for Tokyo Disneyland.
I'm going to have to look that up. Your favorite Disney movie?
It's so hard. I'm going to choose Frozen for right now.
Okay.
Because it's so fun. I want to see it again and again.
Yep, can't go wrong. Maybe they'll bring the Frozen sing-along to Japan.
I wonder. We don't get the movie until next month. So,
really?
Mm-hmm. Terrible. Well,
by summertime, you'll have the sing-along.
I hope so.
Yeah. If you could be any Disney character from your favorite Disney movie, who would you be?
Oh, my gosh. It's kind of difficult, right?
Yep.
because there's a good points and then there's a bad points. You know, if you're like Belle, you've got like a stalker in the town and you have to get... I guess The Little Mermaid, right? Because she gets to go under the sea, she gets to go on land. She has a pretty cool life, I would say.
Yeah, that's cool. As long as she doesn't, you know, get eaten by a whale.
There you go.
Do you have any hidden talents?
I I can wait in line for a really long time and not complain.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a talent I don't have.
I don't know. I'm good at photography sometimes.
Okay, good. Something people may not know about you?
I can speak four languages. No, wait, English, French, Spanish, and some Japanese. Four languages.
Wow.
Wow.
I struggle with English on most days.
Me too, every day.
Yeah,
English is pretty tough.
Your favorite Disney snack?
I guess... Churros, maybe, with a chocolate dip, like the raspberry churros with the chocolate dipping sauce. It's really nice.
Whoa. Raspberry what? Chocolate who? What?
Yeah, okay, so they had for the anniversary, and I'm guessing they're going to do it afterwards, too, because it was really popular. They had, like, they always have different flavored churros, but they also had, like, dipping sauces to go with it this time.
Holy mackerel.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really good.
I got nothing to dip my churro into over here. Do you have any churro dipping sauce?
No, I don't. Not here.
Where's my phone? I got to call Bob Iger. Churro sauce mixing in Florida, Bob. Thank you. Holy mackerel.
I'll send him a tweet.
Oh, I really wish he was on Twitter. That would be fantastic. Well, he'd have to hire somebody to take all the questions and complaints.
Right.
It would be a full-time, non-stop job all day long answering people's questions and complaints.
Oh, no.
But, you know, that's an interesting story because Jim Fielding, the president of the Disney store, was on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I used to have conversations with him all the time on Twitter. And, Jim, if you're listening, I miss you, pal, because I think the stores have tanked, and I miss asking you questions on Twitter. And, you know, who's ever in charge, call me. okay. Back on track. Hey, Trish, it is completely awesome to have you on the show. Anytime you want to come on and talk about anything that's going on over there, you are more than welcome to come on and chit-chat.
Awesome. It was so nice talking to you guys, too.
Yeah.
Great talking to you, Trish. Thanks so much for your time and hanging out with us.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Have fun. Have a good day.
Bye. From here, right here in Orlando at Walt Disney World, we're excited because the Flower Power Concert Series lineup has been announced. If you recall, that Flower Power Concert Series showcases the music of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And the concerts take place Fridays through Mondays at 5:30 p.m., 6:45, and 8 p.m. at the America Gardens Theater. So here's the list. If you've been, if you haven't had a chance to read this, this is the list. So
you have to sing a song from each of these groups when you say them.
I don't know if I can do that. I think you should do that.
All right, we'll let you off the hook this time.
If I had the song titles next to them, maybe, but okay. March 7th through 9th is the Guess Who.
Who?
And when I told somebody that recently, they were like, who?
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Nope, that's their name, but guess who? Who's on first? But, yeah, so March 14th through 16th is Gary Lewis and the Playboys, and they've never played at Epcot before, so they're new this year. March 21st through 23rd, the orchestra starring former members of ELO. March 28th through 30th, we have the Love and Spoonful. March 4th through 6th is Paul Revere and the Raiders. April 11th and the 13th, they brought back a favorite, the Village People. April 18th through 20th is the Grassroots. April 25th through 27th is Herman's Hermits, starring Peter Noon. And then May 2nd through 4th is Starship, starring Mickey Thomas. May 9th through 11th is Chubby Checker and the Wildcats. May 16th through 18th is Alan Parsons' live project. So exciting stuff there.
Yeah, that
I can't wait for Flower and Garden. I can't believe it's getting to be that time of year again already.
You mean Flower and Food.
Flower and Food.
I'm renaming it Flower and Food.
Food and Garden.
Food and Garden, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I bet, my prediction is they are going to double the amount of food that they had from last year.
Ooh, that would be good. That can only be a good thing, I think.
I'm just, that's my prediction.
I love it.
We'll see.
More stuff to try.
Yeah.
So you got news from Disneyland Paris for us?
Sure. Our friend Laura, and remember to follow Laura at That Disney Lover on Twitter. She heard that me, Tony, liked the new store that'll be called Flora's Boutique after Walt's mom in Paris. They already have a store called Lily's Boutique, which is named after Walt's wife. See, that's cool stuff. I like that
stuff. That's awesome, right?
Yeah. Lily in the Store is a house for home gifts. That's even better. But the best is that it takes... hold on. Let's say that again. But the best is that it has a full fake fireplace that has lots of small framed photos of Walt and family. And hopefully a new store will have some lovely photos of family memorabilia from Walt as well. That is, you know... I really like when they pay a tribute to the family, because that's really cool stuff.
Yeah.
We don't have enough of that in Florida. They have more of that in Disneyland than we do. Also, this week at Disneyland Paris, Captain EO, which is the Michael Jackson 3D show, has its last performance for a while. Uh-oh. Maybe it's going away again.
Mm-hmm.
The rumor is that it's going to close forever. I bet it will. They have no official reports that the show may come back again in the future, so I guess they'll just have to see what happens. I have a feeling ours is going to go away as well, as soon as our rumored journey into imagination changes, but we'll see. Previously, the show had closed and was replaced with Star Wars-related, but then, you know, that went away too. Also, they have a lot of news that the Ratatouille ride and area... Walt Disney Studios will be opening on the 14th of July, very cool, which is called, which is Bastille Day in France. So it's going to open on Bastille Day.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not sure what Bastille Day... I think it's the celebration of France. It's Bastille Day. You know, there's a whole big French parade thing that they do. Mm-hmm. The city does, yeah. However, nothing's been announced officially, so we'll have to see. Soft openings and press events will probably happen around that time as well. That's it for Paris. Nothing else much happening. But we thank you, Laura, for that great info. You'll have to let us know how the Ratatouille ride is, because I have a feeling if that's pretty successful, they'll duplicate it in other parks. So we'll have to see.
Yes. And I'm very excited to announce, we just firmed it up today, Laura's going to be coming on the show soon, too. So watch for that coming in February.
Very cool.
So can't wait. And she will be up late at night because they're about 4 or 5 hours ahead of us. So it'll be like midnight when we talk to her. But she told me she's a student, so she's fine. She's up every night, so she's fine with that. So did you want to go into the news from dvcnews.com?
Sure. Our friends over at DVC News, I was reading some interesting stuff from them the other day. And I thought this was probably the most interesting thing I've seen lately. So starting in February, the DVC club members will receive some extra benefits when scheduling spa services during selected hours. The spa nights, I'm using my air quotes, will be held from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. every Tuesday, rotating between the Sensa Spa at the Grand Floridian and the Saratoga Springs Spa. In addition to the normal 15% off discount that DVC members get, they will also get some extra things, such as a glass of wine upon arrival, not too shabby, complimentary service enhancement upgrades on any 50 or 80 minute massage or facial. So that's a $25 value that you can get for free. And a spa product parting gift. And I have no idea what that could be.
It's going to be a spa product.
Maybe it's going to be some shampoo or lotion or a robe.
Face mask. Whatever. Any of that fun stuff, yeah.
So reservations will be accepted by Disney Vacation Club members services beginning on Thursday, February 6th. So if you are coming down for a trip soon and you would like to partake, if you're a spa person, I usually don't have time for a spa. I'm usually busy in a park. That's just me. You can get some of these great services. And don't forget, you know, you get that 15% discount, which is very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So another exciting DVC Magic Band news. One thing the Magic Band can't do before is confirm that a guest is eligible for Disney Vacation Club discount perks, but that may soon change. According to a rumor, it hasn't been officially announced yet, Disney is working on some form of special Magic Band design just for DVC members. So in addition to serving as a fun band variation for owners, the DVC exclusive would presumably replace the plastic member card as a means of verifying membership when purchasing discounted goods and services. Now, prior to the introduction of Magic Bands, Disney's plastic Key to the World cards typically included a DVC member notation on them. So most shopping, dining, and other establishments would accept the Key to the World card as proof of eligibility for the DVC discounts. So again, this band is basically just a rumor for now, but given Disney's heavy investment in the entire My Magic Plus program, it's reasonable to conclude that they will produce many Magic Band variants and accessories in years to come. And I have to say, I agree with that. I've had pictures, you probably have too, Tony, on my side of the different bands that, you know, they're expecting to come along the pike, different, whatever you call that, not pilots, but like, you know, the concept art, of the different bands that might be coming out. Yeah. So I'd say that's a pretty awesome rumor. That's exciting stuff. Yeah. So
I am going to need a super band because I'm an annual pass holder. I'm a Tables of Wonderland and I am a DVC member and a D23 member. Now, if they could put all of that information on my band, I don't think they're going to, but if they could, that would be really great because it would lighten my wallet of about 5 cards that I carry around.
They should. It's an RFID chip anyway, so they should put them in the bands like they do in the ears, and then really special people like you can be in sync with the fireworks show and the Osborne lights with your little band. That would be cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was some pictures going around of the annual pass holder band, and our discount is not going to be on the band. It's going to be on a discount card. So if they're going to put the DBC discount on my band, you know, why not my annual pass holder discount, which I think is about the same. So maybe maybe in some place I'll just use my DBC discount.
Yeah, I think the annual pass is like 10% discount on stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and I think this, so is DVC on some stuff too. So,
well, yeah, it seems like
not in every shop and not in every restaurant.
Okay.
There's a very small list, so.
Yeah, it seems like they should build it right into the band.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I would agree.
If not now, then maybe later.
Yeah. I'm going to have to, we got Kathy at 8.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to get this done in 6 minutes.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
We should probably just close it out.
Yeah. All right, kids. I think that's it for this week. That wraps up another shoe. Hey, we want to thank you for listening. We love your comments. We love your feedback. If you want to shoot us an email, please do. It's at thecrew@disneyparkspodcast.com. You can also phone us at 407-476-8898. And we also love comments and questions and things like that on the Disney Parks podcast website, which is DisneyParksPodcast.com. That's it, kids. We hope to see you in the parks. Until next time. Call the Disney Parks Podcast at 407-476-8898 to leave a message 24 hours a day. You can also email us questions and comments at thecrew@disneyparkpodcast.com. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/DisneyPK Podcast. Follow us on Twitter for all you Twitter lovers at DisneyPK Podcast. Help us out by subscribing to us on iTunes. Rate us, review us, leave us a little note, and we will respond to you there as well. You can also find us on Stitcher Radio On Demand. Visit us at Disney Parks Podcast, where you can find all of our shows, our show notes, and leave us a comment. Join us next Tuesday for more news, rumors from all around the Disney parks, and we'll see you in the parks. I am Tony Casanova from Disney by the Numbers, and I ask that you stop by DisneyByTheNumbers.com, where you can read our news, our blog, see videos, sign up for our newsletter, and check out our photos and all the other good stuff that we have at DisneyByTheNumbers.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/DBTN page. I know that's a little hard, but you can follow us there. You can follow us on Twitter at DBTN. You can find us on YouTube by searching for Disney by the Numbers. You can sign up for our newsletter at DisneyByTheNumbers.com or go out to iTunes and search for WDW DBTN Facts. And you can go out to iTunes and get our iPhone app, which you can use on your iPhone, iPad, and iPod. Check out WDW DBTN Facts on iTunes.
Hi, this is Krista from DisneyWays.com, where our mission includes bringing you exciting Disney news and information that's also sprinkled with Disney Ways treasures you won't find anywhere else. We want to help answer your Disney-related questions. We do post every single day, so we hope you subscribe to our updates by email. We do have monthly prizes for our subscribers, so you're automatically entered just for subscribing, and you'll be kept up to date for with our coming events and all the things we have going on at Disney Ways. We can also be found at Twitter at Disney Ways, and we do have a YouTube channel that's a work in progress, but we'd love to have you there too. So check us out on the web.